write a pandemic story they would be proud to tell. I would ask this question: when 2020 is nothing but a story you tell, what story do you want to tell? A story of panic, fear, selfishness, or a story of faith, compassion, fidelity, generosity? And then I would remind them, you're writing your pandemic story one decision and one response at a time. Write a good one. But sadly, many evangelicals did not write a good one. Now, when life is predictable, it's natural to lose sight of what we value most and what we fear most. But when a tsunami of uncertainty rolls in, things get real, real quick. Uncertainty doesn't alter our value system. Uncertainty exposes it. Without any effort on our part, what's really most important surfaces immediately. In seasons of uncertainty, we discover what we actually value most. Uncertainty and the fear that follows close behind always strips away the veneer and reveals what's hidden beneath the surface. In 2020, evangelicals in the United States discovered what we value most. The political, social, economic, and health crisis of 2020 didn't cause us to misprioritize our values. These events simply exposed what's been true for a long time. While our actions don't always tell the whole story, our reactions most certainly do. The reactions of prominent pastors, Christian podcasters, television personalities, and nonprofit leaders to the events that defined 2020 revealed the disturbing reality of what lurked behind their Bible-laced rhetoric, faith claims, books, music, and sermons. Turns out, what we say is most important is not actually what we consider most important. Our responses and reactions to 2020 made that abundantly clear. Even worse, our responses to the events of 2020 made our values embarrassingly clear. People were watching. The world was listening. Consequently, folks who don't embrace our faith discovered what's most important to us as well. And while we may be surprised what 2020 revealed about us, they aren't. They suspected it all along. Our response to the events of 2020 simply confirmed their suspicions, namely, that once you scratch off the veneer of our sermons and songs, we value what everybody else does. And what do evangelicals in America value most? Winning. What do we fear? Losing. But not winning or losing souls. The truth is, we systematically alienated more than half the souls in America through our un-Christ-like rhetoric and fear-based posturing. For all of our talk of evangelism, revival, and reaching the lost, clearly those are not our primary concerns. That's not what we value most. If it were, we would not have allowed ourselves to be dragged into and embroiled in far less noble conflicts with far less noble goals. If evangelism and discipleship were truly most important, we would not have so easily surrendered influence with those who need to be evangelized and discipled. We would not have allowed ourselves to be reduced to a voting block, a constituency, part of the electorate, pawns. Tragically, because of our misplaced, un-Christ-like value system, our love affair with winning, we were not prepared or positioned to take advantage of what, in hindsight, may have been the greatest opportunity for the church in our lifetime. An opportunity when, to borrow the Apostle Paul's words, we had a chance to shine like stars in the heavens, to live like children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Instead, to use Paul's words again, we grumbled and argued with one another, with our neighbors, with state and local governments. To use Jesus' words, we had an opportunity to let our light shine before others that they would see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. But instead, we hid our light under a bushel. We lined up behind our political party of choice and leveraged our sacred text to validate our political talking points. We argued with our brothers and sisters and treated our neighbors with suspicion. We went to war with state and local officials over our right to gather shoulder to shoulder indoors in the middle of a pandemic. We left the impression that our personal faith would suffer irreversible harm if we couldn't meet indoors every 7 days. On social media, we demonized and criticized by name people we've never met. We gave up the moral high ground and confirmed what my